The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:10pm with Ross Brierley, Gary Capewell and Luke Elder in the studio. Good meetings at Ascot Haydock and Wincanton. Graded races at all of those venues, including the Grade 1 Ascot Chase. We have a Grand National Trial at Haydock and the Kingwell Hurdle at Wincanton. Just a few of the big races to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Gary Capewell. How are you, Gary?
Yeah, very good, thank you, Mark. Yeah, it's what I probably would class as the last sort of big Saturday in terms of some trials before Cheltenham, really.
Yeah, obviously after that you're getting far too close to the to the festival.
I mean, we're 4 weeks away now, aren't we? So, well, just under 4 weeks away now, so yeah.
Yeah, and you mentioned Cheltenham Clues. Holywell was a winner on Thursday. It was 1-4 and he won probably as he should. Was that impressive enough for you to side with him now for the Gold Cup?
I wouldn't personally be siding with him. It wouldn't have been impressive enough for me for any bookmakers to be clipping him in the market. That has to be said, because he was beating horses rated 130 and the like, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he did it well enough. Not completely convinced about his jumping, but. He's a spring horse.
Yeah.
I mean, he's won at the last two festivals. He won the Potemps and he won the old William Hill Chase last year. And then obviously he followed up and won the Grade 1 at Aintree. He wants better ground and hopefully he could get that in a very open year. It'd be foolish to say he can't win. Be interesting to see if AP decides to stay with Carlingford Lock or rides Holywell. That will perhaps give us a big indications to either of those two chances. Personally, I know that Carlingford Lock's more a grinder, but for me, I think Holywell appreciates the better ground more. A lot could depend on the ground. I think if the ground's on the quick side, which is every reason to expect it to be, I think he'll go for Holywell over Carlingford Lock.
Okay. Well, the betting looks like this, by the way. Sylvain Arco-Conti, 3-1. At the top of the market, 9-1 for Many Clouds and Road to Riches. Carlingford Lock and Holywell both 12-1. Coningree and Lord Windermere are both 14s. 16s for Bobsworth, Jackadam and Fox Rock, but that one does need to be supplemented. Smad Place, another one of those, at 16-1 and 20s or bigger prices for the others. While we're on the subject of the Cheltenham Festival as well, the Ryanair was opened up a little bit last week and the connections of Q-Card are... I'm talking him up now. So, do you think he'd have a good chance? Previous winner of the race, of course.
Well, you just have to. I mean, you just look at his previous Cheltenham figures. This 1-4-2-1, and I think we see it time and time again, year on year on year. People surprised that some horses just seem to bounce back when they run at Cheltenham. It very much is a horses for courses track. Don Cossack has never ran there, or certainly hasn't ran there over fences. He's favourite at the moment with us for the Ryanair Chase. Champagne Fever has other options, could yet go elsewhere. A lot will depend on how where he ends up. Jacadam ditto. John Spirit, I think he's entered in a couple of races still too. Border Success, a lot could depend on his run tomorrow, same as Bally Casey. Carlingford Lock won't be going there. So it's you go further down the list, and it strikes me as a race that, no, he races easy to win at Cheltenham, but it strikes me as not perhaps being the strongest of renewals of the Ryanair Chase. And the fact that he loves it here, for me, the excuses are beginning to mount up a little bit, though, from the team. They had this, that was wrong, this was wrong. Wouldn't want to back him, per se, at the prices, because we're not going to see him between now and then. But whether I'd... I couldn't, again, like Holywell, it's foolish to discount a horse who's been there at a track and done it and clearly thrives in the spring.
Final question with regards to the Cheltenham Festival before we move on. Annie Power, perhaps. Would you like to see her in the World Hurdle now that...
No, because I've backed Safi Darur at 14.
Fair enough. So you personally wouldn't.
I wasn't completely convinced she stayed last year either. They've had a few problems with it this time around, haven't they, too? I can understand why they would want to. I mean, I can't have Rock on Ruby staying, so I think the way he looked legless. I know it was on heavy ground, but he looked legless the day that he won there on New Year's Day. I know he won there subsequently, but he wouldn't be for me. And again, you're looking down the list and you're thinking we'd have a fair chance in this. I mean, Zarkander's been beaten in the race before. I've always said that the horse wants... I personally, if the World Hurdle was on the other track, I would prefer him. But it's the opposite. I would have wanted to back him for the Champion Hurdle if that was run on the course of the World Hurdle's run, and vice versa with the World Hurdle and the Champion Hurdle. So, yeah, I struggled to back him because I'm not completely convinced he really sees it out on that track. But if it was run on the track, they run the Champion Hurdle on, I'd be all over him. It sounds a bizarre thing to say, but it's true.
Yeah.
But I'm happy with Sapphire, though. I'm thinking he will improve again for the outing when he won on trials day. And I very much expect him to go close. And fingers crossed, anyway. I think he will go back over fences in time. But I think it's a clever bit of placing from Paul Nicholls. He's seen that there's a chance that he can get a victory for a horse in a very good race where, I mean, they were sort of stuck between a rock and a hard place with his novice career, but he'll be running in graduation chases next year, so there'll be a nice opportunity for him to get his confidence back up, hopefully on the back of winning the World Hurdle.
Yeah. So we don't know about Annie Powell yet. She may go to that race. She could also go to the Mayor's Hurdle.
I would imagine the Mayor's will still be the target, if I'm honest.
Yeah. I was just thinking they don't need to send Annie Power to a race like they've got mares that would, Glenn's Melody, for instance, would have a pretty good crack at the Mayor's Hurdle.
Possibly, but I think Annie Power would beat her.
That's what I'm saying, but you could then take a chance, think, well, we've got the Mayor's Hurdle, we'll give Glenn's Melody that.
And perhaps. I mean, how many years have they won it on the spin now?
It's a while.
You wouldn't mind betting Annie Power runs in this race, the Mayor's race, for the next 4 years, and then they'll have won the race for 10 years on the spin.
Which is remarkable.
That's looking too far ahead, obviously. But
can I have a bet that Annie Power wins the Mayor's Hurdle for the next 4 years? Please?
You wouldn't bet against them trying to do something like that. Yeah. And then Annie Power would again run at Punchestown in the Grade One. Yeah. Not against the other sex. Wouldn't surprise me if that happened.
Okay, well, we'll leave the Cheltenham talk there. One piece of news just to touch on before we move on. The July Cup may go back to midweek. We already talked to me and Pimmy yesterday about the change of time for the Derby and there's a bit of a reshuffle in the calendar. Do you think the July Cup should go back to midweek?
Yes, having worked on that Saturday, it's crazy to have a big race such as the John Smith Handicap and other good races at Ascot, and they pale into insignificance. They're not really given the attention that they deserve, and certainly in terms of betting turnover, that John Smith Handicap gets a fraction of probably what it should do. It just makes sense in terms of the whole industry for the levy and for all sorts of other different reasons, TV coverage. The attendance at the July Cup doesn't make any difference, being whether Wednesday, Thursday, Friday works perfectly. Having been on, I think, all three of those days, certainly the Thursday and the Friday I've been anyway. I don't think Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I mean, if you go back and look at historically the figures, I think this way probably works out actually better for Newmarket, and it gives the actual race a little bit more sort of value again as well, because punters aren't looking at other races.
Yeah, this fixture in particular, there's that 15-20 minute window where it's just everything's happening.
Because Chester raced that day because they have their own funded fixture. Because again, you know, they look at the Chester, Ascot, and the York attendance figures.
Yeah,
you could double they're almost double what Newmarket get for the July Cup.
Obviously, which isn't right.
I mean, moving it to the Friday might increase it a little bit. It's certainly not going to decrease it a huge amount.
Okay, well, let's move on. Let's look at Saturday's racing, as Gary mentioned. The last big Saturday of clues, really, before the festival. And Gary's got three races for us. We'll get his selections next.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, Gary's got three races for us. We'll start at Ascot and then move up to Haydock, starting with the Grade 1 contest of the afternoon, the Ascot Chase, which is the 350. We do have betting for this as well, and Petit Zig is 2-1 at the top of the market. Boulder Success is 5-2, 100-30 for Ballycasey. Marfilet is 4s and 14-1 or bigger prices for the other two. Petit Zig is quite exciting, Gary. Four wins over fences now, and one of the leading candidates at the festival. So do you see him winning this en route?
It's an interesting one. I think he's probably a little bit too short. It may well turn out to be one of the greatest prices of the season, but he's taking on some... for all the he's relished his jumping, he's taking on some decent horses. Obviously, he's won here, he's won at Exeter, Warwick, and then he won the Dipper at Cheltenham when last seen. It's an interesting bit of placing from Paul Nicholls to take on, you know, some really good horses here. You got Border Success, who they stepped up in trip last time, and it seemed to be the making of him. Albeit there was only a few runners in that race at Kempton. He'd ran in the Holden Gold Cup and the Tingle Creek, and another race at Kempton over the Christmas period, the 2 miler prior to that. He was a beaten favourite on that occasion. But it seems to me that the step-up in trip will help him. By contrast, Ballycasey ran in the RSA last year, finished fourth. They went back down in trip with him. Then he won at Goran. And then he was a bit disappointing over the Christmas period at Leopardstown. And then you really have the sort of forgotten horse of the race, Mafuel, who ran in a decent race at Down Royal. They chucked him into the champion chase there. I mean, she was very impressive in the top, and prior to that, before that, she'd finished second behind Holywell in the former William Hill race. And then she ran in that farce of a race at Aintree just before Christmas, where I think Holywell ran in Adam Fell, the race won by Samwell. It wasn't beaten that far. They didn't jump in offence. I mean, jumping is her strong point. She's really going to be suited to Ascot. And I actually think she's probably the value at the current prices that she is as well. She comes here off the back of a little bit of a break, but that's not really a concern. She's won well on the back of a break before. So just looking at the current prices, I see that she's 4-1 with us here at William Hill.
Yep.
Definitely respect Petit Zig. Interesting bit of placing from Paul Nicholls to send him out of novice company and into a Grade 1, albeit... traditionally what is one of the fairly weakish Grade 1s. I know it's been won by some good horses, but you often get a handful of runners, as we've got here. So I'll take a chance on Mafuel at the current prices that we have.
Yeah, I do quite like the move as well, when you've got a good novice and then you take him out of novice company before the festival and then put him back into
it certainly sharpens them up, and it hardens them up a little bit, as you say.
Up to Haydock we go then for the two races that Gary's got there. The 255 is the Grand National Trial, a Grade 3 handicap chase over 3 miles and 5 furlongs. Again, we have betting on the website for this. Benvolio is the 9-2 market leader as we record this. Mon Beg Dude, 11-2, 7-1 for Broadway Buffalo, 15-2 for Sam's Town, 9s for Ben Benz, and 10s or bigger for the others. AP McCoy's on board Monbeg Dude for the first time as well. They've gone for the champion jockey. Last chance he might get to ride the horse, of course, with him retiring soon. But it's as competitive as you'd expect this, Gary. So
yeah, very competitive. Obviously, the fact that McCoy rides Monbeg Dude means that he's perhaps a little bit shorter than he probably should be. Obviously, fourth in the Hennessy was a cracking run earlier on in the season. After that, of course, obviously, he ran in the Welsh National again, and he was fourth. Where I think perhaps the weight in the end perhaps told. That said, Benvolio obviously finished in front of him. Obviously now has to try and give him weight. Obviously he was getting £7 the last two. There is the big swing around in the weights. And with Benvolio already being bought by the person who bought Party Politics, Mrs. Thompson, not long before he... won the National, albeit we're going back 23 years now, because he won it in 92. You will just wonder whether he's completely... I mean, that was a hard race as well, that. Obviously, the Welsh National, it takes a lot out of horses, and you'd see some horses take a fair bit of time to recover from that. Obviously, Gasline Boy ran in the race as well. Prior to that, he'd won here over this course and distance, but he disappointed in the Welsh National. Sam's Town won here last time out. But he gets a rise in the weight. I'd be willing to oppose quite a lot of those ones towards the top and look for something perhaps in the middle of the weights here. Lyford, it's been in good form this year, obviously winning at Aintree earlier on in the season and then winning at Kelso, winning over a fair old distance that day as well, 3 mile three or 3 mile four almost. Riggan and Abotion obviously won this race last year, but you don't get a lot. There's very hit or miss with Riggan and Abotion. It's either a win or you don't get round. Mountainous pulled up in the Welsh National, but we know that he definitely stays, having obviously won the Welsh National previously. And then we get to the one that I quite like. Broadway Buffalo, who won the Tommy Whittle here, was then turned out very, very quickly in the Roland Merrick, was a bit disappointing on that occasion, but it's fair to say could easily have, that run came very quick on the back of that victory here. Conditions will hold no fear. Certainly stays well, this horse. And obviously, if you just look at his form here, He won the long distance hurdle here last year as well. If you go back further, his record on heavy ground is pretty good too. So we know that he won't mind conditions. We know that he likes the track. I should imagine this will have been really the end. They've probably given him a bit of a break after that hard run at Weatherby, giving him a little while off of getting spot on for this. And a horse who seems to be improving because he's not got as many miles on the clock or something. He's got a fantastic strike rate as well, this horse. He's won 7 of his 19 starts. So, all things considered, at the current prices, I think I'll be tempted to go for him at 7-1.
Okay, Broadway Buffalo for Gary in that one then. And the final race we're going to look at is the 4 o'clock at Haydock, which is the Albert Bartlett Novices Hurdle. It was the Prestige Novices Hurdle, a Grade Two over 3 miles. Some good novices in this as well. Fletcher's Fly is doing very well at the moment. You've got the likes of Ballard, who's been knocking on the door. Definitely Red has a couple of wins this season. It's a pretty good race, this.
Very much so. Yeah, I saw Fletcher's Flyer actually when he made his debut last year in a bumper at Totstrom Midlands National. He wasn't beating far. Really liked him. I think he'd already won a point before that. And he went to Ireland, won a bumper at Punchestown. Disappointing at Force Lass on his hurdling debut, but I can forgive any horse a bad run there. Then he won at Ascot in November. Ruby rode him. And then he won at Wincanton. And I really did like him. He might have the odd sort of kink in him, I think it's fair to say, the way that he sort of jinked that day. But he's certainly a horse that I want to keep on the right side of. He will be the selection here. He is giving weight all round, but just looking at the official form, the official ratings, he has got a little bit in hand on the vast majority of these. We should mention Bala, who's closest to him actually on the figures. He finished second at Newbury on his hurdling debut, horse who'd come over from Ireland. And then he was second behind Three Musketeers at Warwick, albeit he went down fighting, wasn't actually beaten that far. I know they're talking Three Musketeers up as a potential Albert Bartlett horse. He would appear to be the main danger because he hasn't got as many miles on the clock again as some of these have. Definitely Red. Richard Johnson takes the ride on him, as he did when this horse won at Cheltenham at the Open meeting in a bumper. He then finished second at Newcastle in the French Furs hurdle, and then he won at Catterick. He looks to be going the right way. Whether this might come a little bit too soon in his career, I'm not entirely sure. But he's one to keep an eye on. And Kingswell Theatre is another horse, again, that I like for the future. I just wonder whether the ground might be a little bit... I know he's won in soft ground, but he disappointed in very testing ground here last time out, albeit that was in handicap company. I think we'll see better from this horse when he goes back on quicker ground. Lucinda Russell's horse continue in fair form though. And the other one that we should mention is AP's mount, Globalisation. Was actually a beaten favourite last time out. That came at Force Last. Prior to that, he'd won a bumper at Aintree. Again, I'm sure there's more to come from this horse stepping up in trip here will obviously help, but again, it may well be that his better days probably come over the larger obstacles, and it's probably the same with Bada. And could easily actually be said with Fletcher's Flyer too, but I do like Fletcher's Flyer as a project, and it'll be interesting to see. I should imagine they'll probably go to the Albert Bartlett, probably on the back of winning this.
Yeah. Okay, good stuff. Let's have a quick summary, Gary, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your selections for Saturday.
Yeah, in the Ascot Chase, going to take a chance on Matthew. I think it's pretty much really the sort of forgotten horse of the race. In the Grand National Trial, Broadway Buffalo is a horse who's 2 from 2 at the track and I like. And in the 4 o'clock, the Albert Bartlett Trial, going to go with the top one giving way to a round, Fletcher's Fly.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Gary.
Thank you.
Enjoy it on Saturday.
Will do.
So there you go, the thoughts of Gary Capewell on Saturday's racing. You'll hear it on Racing Radio from 1:10 p.m. Ross Briley, Gary Capewell and Luke Elder will be in the studio. It's a good day of racing to look forward to as well. Good cards at Ascot, Haydock and Wincanton over the jumps. So we've got the Ascot Chase, which is a Grade 1. There's the Grand National Trial at Haydock. There's also the Albert Bartlett Novices Hurdle Trial that we just discussed. And good racing at Wincanton as well. The Kingwell Hurdle is their feature race. Alongside that, we have all-weather action at Lingfield, so something for everybody this Saturday. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.